Could three heads be better than one?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Let me set the picture for you. On this side is General Motors. On the other side, two competitors, Renault and Nissan. Today, the GM board will discuss a possible alliance with the other two companies. This idea is the brainchild of Kirk Kerkorian, one of GM's biggest shareholders. Marketplace's Amy Scott describes how it would work.
The proposed deal would have Renault and Nissan each buying a 10% stake in GM for a total of about $3 billion. The three companies would then save money by sharing parts and technology. Analysts expect GM CEO Rick Wagoner to lobby against the deal today. GM lost more than $4 billion in a previous failed alliance with Fiat and may be loath to try again. Burnham Securities analyst Dave Healy says Nissan's got problems of its own, despite CEO Carlos Ghosn's celebrated turnaround tactics.
Nissan's North American margins have collapsed, and so have their sales. And Ghosn himself has summoned, hundreds of rescue workers from Japan to clean up after himself.
Others say GM's board is obligated to at least consider the arrangement. GM lost more than $10 billion last year, and the jury's still out on its own plans for a turnaround. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
That alliance may not happen. Here's one that did. Back in 2004, Singular Wireless purchased AT&T Wireless. The pitch was that this merger would lead to better service for AT&T customers. But according to a lawsuit filed against Singular, service didn't get better, it got worse. The suit claims the only alternative customers had was to either sign a new contract with Singular or end their service and pay a big termination fee. No comment from Singular. The British government has been accused of dramatically underestimating the scale of immigration into the UK. An influx of workers from Eastern Europe is putting pressure on British housing and public services. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
When East European countries like Poland joined the EU in 2004, many Britons feared a huge influx of workers from the East. But the British government soothed those fears. It said that no more than 13,000 migrants a year would head for Britain. 18 months later, the actual figure, according to a new study, is 500,000. The sheer numbers are causing a problem in some areas. Cheryl Cooper, a councillor from Slough near Heathrow Airport, says her town cannot cope.
They have nowhere to stay and nowhere to live, and we estimate about 1,000 houses have now been turned into houses in multiple occupation, where Polish migrants are actually sleeping on the floor.
The new study shows that unemployment and low wages at home are driving East Europeans to migrate to the more buoyant UK. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Figures for new jobs come out this morning. The prediction is we'll see a big jump, 200,000 payroll jobs for June. There were also reports that the unemployment rate should hold steady at 4.6%. Good numbers from Wall Street yesterday at the close of business. The Dow rose 73 points. It's at 11,225. The Nasdaq was flat, up just a point to 2155. The S&P inched up 3 points to 1247. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei was up 108 points, or 0.7%. This is Marketplace. Typically, a record company attracts new artists with big payments up front, which they hope to make up later with CD sales. But CDs aren't selling well. Ashley Milntite tells us about a company that's trying something new.
EMI has teamed with talent management company The Firm to form a new record label. But when artists sign, they won't get a huge advance. Instead, the artists and the label share profits from album sales, concerts, and merchandise. Eric Bolert is a contributing editor to Rolling Stone. He says it's the first time a major label like EMI has departed from the old model, and rivals will be keeping a keen eye on the results.
No matter what the formula is, it always comes down to what's on the record. The entire industry is based on hits. So the signing label and the cooperative and this new relationship, that's all great. If you don't produce the hits, none of it matters.
Still, he says, EMI and its partner are well-respected industry veterans, and many artists will be happy to work with them. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Teach for America's core of recent college grads, working to ensure students get access to educational opportunities at teachforamerica.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. There are lots of ideas about the best way to fight illegal immigration. President Bush is asking Congress for 6,000 more U.S. Border Patrol officers. Over the past 10 years, the patrol has tripled in size and is now up to 12,000. Douglas, Arizona is a small town along the border. Claudine LaMonaco says more Border Patrol officers sounds like a great idea to them, but not because of illegal immigration.
For the last several years, this former mining town, population 18,000, has been a hotspot for illegal immigration. It's also become home to one of the country's largest Border Patrol stations. 10 years ago, Douglas had 25 Border Patrol agents. Today, it has 550. With overtime, a starting agent here can earn around $50,000 a year. That's a lot of buying power in a community with a per capita income of $10,000. Just ask Carlos Ortiz, owner of Yogi's Mexican Restaurant.
I'm really happy with the business they're giving me.
Border Patrol agents make up a quarter of his business. As he talks, a pair of off-duty agents sits eating their dinner.
I've had a table of 10 this morning. We had a table of 6 this afternoon for lunch. They come in, they splurge. The more they come in, the better.
Young, single Border Patrol agents with cash to burn fill up most of Douglas's restaurants and cafes at mealtimes. Local mechanics replace mountains of chewed-up tires on the agency's army of trucks. And real estate developers are busy building new subdivisions. Developer Hector Salinas.
The majority of the people that are getting their homes built are Border Patrol.
Most Douglas housing consists of old, paint-chipped homes from its heyday as a copper mining town. Only 40% of the agents that work in Douglas live here. To attract more, the city built an upscale 80-unit apartment development. It sits on the town's golf course. So many agents live at this complex that among themselves, they jokingly refer to it as Rancho de la Migra, Mexican slang for immigration agent. Douglas native and mayor Ray Berain helped build these apartments, and he loves having so many Border Patrol agents in his town.
And the Border Patrol people are good people. They're upstanding citizens for the most part.
Upstanding citizens that help bolster the town's economy. Ironically, Mayor Berain doesn't think the border buildup will accomplish anything. Border Patrol is still catching the same number of people it caught 20 years ago, only they're paying far more to do it. Berain says the most effective way to crack down on illegal immigration would be worksite enforcement. But if the government wants to send more agents, he says, he'll hold the door open.
It's not going to stop the immigrants from coming over here. The three fences will not stop them from coming over here. But if they send them, we'll welcome them.
If somebody's going to benefit from the billions of dollars the U.S. pumps into the border, Berain says it might as well be his town. In Douglas, Arizona, I'm Claudine LaMonaco for Marketplace.
We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
You go to a museum, spend maybe $10 to...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.